I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6. That's where I'm going to be reading out of today. I like to think big picture because, you know, if I think too small picture, then I have to think about my individual problems, and nobody wants to do that. But, you know, when I think big picture and I think about the church, not just here, but the church and the problems that we have today and the kind of what society says, like, oh, these are, you know, we don't like the church because of this and this. And there's perception issues there and lack of a spiritual mind in a lot of ways. But one thing I do see, and it's easy to fall into. You never hear somebody who's living a fake Christian life say, yeah, I'm a fake Christian. I'm living a fake Christian life. None of them ever know it. You know, it's kind of like the guy who's like an awful, he's dating your friend, and he's just this awful guy. You never go, oh yeah, I'm just a terrible boyfriend. They don't realize it. They're just awful. They just are. Just like ourselves. No, we don't ever sit there and go, you know what? I'm two-faced. I just picked up on that. You know, I am living a fake life. Huh. People who are two-faced don't realize they're two-faced. This is a very easy trap to fall into. And this is something that I think we have to check ourselves on regularly. Especially in a society that we live in, one of the wealthiest society that's ever existed. That's where we're living right now. I mean, we all drove here in very nice cars. We ate very good meals. And we always eat very good meals and drive very nice cars and wear very nice clothes. It's really easy to kind of shuck God off sometimes. It's really easy to not be genuine. And I think that ties in a lot with what Brother Charles has been talking about. You lose your astonishment when you aren't going, dear Lord, please send me a 3-piece meal with fries and a shake. Amen. And the Ravens bring it. No, we go to Jack's and we get our food and we drive and see everyone. And it's tough. We've made it tough on ourselves. But we have to maintain being genuine Christians. Because if you're not a genuine Christian, you're not a Christian. That's the fact of the matter. And Matthew chapter 6 is kind of a good way for us to have a checkup. Am I still being a genuine Christian, or am I doing it as a show? Is this to show others that I'm a good Christian? The next question is, am I trying to prove to myself that I'm a good boy? Man, here's where I get guilty. I'm like, hey, right there, just stomping on my... For those of you on the left side, I just stomped on my own toes. That's where I feel like a lot of people fall down is, I'm trying to prove to myself, you know, yeah, I'm not that bad of a guy. You know, I'm pretty crummy, but I'm not that bad. And chapter 6, starting with verse 1, says this. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. The first thing that I notice about this verse is that when you put it before men, you've already selected where you're getting your reward from. And that makes sense. It's almost like where you submit your application at. This could be saying, if you submit your application to UAB, you won't get into Samford. True story, because you didn't give it to Samford. Right. Samford in this analogy is God. If you submit your riches and your money and your affection, your charity, I think that might be the best by definition word to use. If you submit your charity to man, not to someone, like, oh, don't give it to people, but to them, for them, about you. You never turned it into God, and you didn't give it you weren't giving to me. You weren't loving me through others. You were loving yourself, and you were trying to get the reward of others for you. And you will have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. I love that he adds that statement in there. It's just like to check up, you're seeking rewards on earth, dirt, everything turns to rust, everything will be moth-eaten or robbed, you have no control. This is your Father in heaven. That is a statement of power, that last little phrase there, your Father which is in heaven. He's not in the Wells Fargo Tower, he's not Alabama Power, he's not UAB, no, he's in heaven. There's nothing that can touch him and nothing that can compare to his reward simply because of where it comes from. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. If I were to have my own version, I'd say, do not make a Facebook post about it before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the Twitter, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Why are we giving? What is the point for us to give? I have found something very relatable that my friends, my roommate as well, he likes this analogy. We were created to bring glory to God. That's what we were made to do. And it's like the toy that never got played with. Because I might have used this here before. The toy was made to be played with. The toy, all he wants is the child to play with. And when the toy doesn't get played with, the toy has no fulfillment. And it goes to like the Island of Lost Toys or whatever that movie was. That's what we become when we aren't glorifying God. That's what we were created to do. That's what our innermost being desires. And that's why we've all heard, and you know, like four of you in here, and add in the people who have raised people, like all of us have said before, we are made to glorify God. That's what we're made to do. It's what we've been taught. And that's so true and it's so basic, yet we forget that. And we push away from that. We've always heard, well, you can't fill that God-sized hole in your heart with, you know, and we always say like drugs and drinking, or, well, you can't fill that God-sized hole in your heart with yourself. Yeah, right. You can't plug that with your own, I can be a good person without God, or I can prove to myself in using, this was bad, is when we use God's name as a cloak. And we say, in the name of God, I'm giving to get glory for myself. Ooh, isn't that bad? Isn't that bad? And we do that. We do that. I do that. That includes me. That is painful to the Father. We're using him. Not only are we avoiding and not glorifying him, but we're putting God in an abusive relationship where we're using him. Didn't we already crucify him? Yeah, we did. We become the ultimate hypocrite. Especially when we use his name to build ourselves up. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. There it is. All you toys who want to be played with, that there it is, right there. The Father will take care of you. You will have your fulfillment. He will fill that God-sized hole because he is God, and you don't have to fill it. Now, let's not be dumb. I'm going to mess up tomorrow or later today and try to fill it with something else. I mean, he makes it so simple for us. He makes it so simple for us. If we can seek that is what God desires of us, is for us to glorify him. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know what I get when I get closer to God? You know, I used to be so confused when I was younger, and I would read these verses, and I'd be like, all right, so I'm going to pray in my closet, and then I come out of my closet, and I'm done praying, I'm looking for like a new toy, or like, I'm looking to like walk down the stairs, and
Sharon, your son just prayed in his closet.
Amen. Thank God. You know, what does it mean to be rewarded openly? Well, duh, what's the reward that I get when I pray to God? Wherever I go openly, anywhere I go, I have his spirit that I have renewed. I have walked with him. That is openly with me everywhere I go. It's before I even step out of that closet. It's when I get out of it. It's when I walk down the stairs. Everywhere I go, I'm rewarded openly with his spirit.
Amen.
Holding me up.
Amen.
I'm on the concrete. When I go to pray, I go back to that cornerstone. I love that image. I'm a visual thinker. When I think of praying, I think of like you close your eyes and then you see the cornerstone and you're just latching back on. You go, oh, there it is. I stepped away from it. And then I pray. Then I read his word. I go back to it and I found the cornerstone again. This is the only thing that's not moving. Everything else is spinning, sinking, ripping you, trying to destroy you. But that cornerstone never moves. And that spirit, when I find it again, when I go pray in my closet and I'm rewarded openly, I open my eyes and I go out and that reward goes with me everywhere I go. I don't want a trophy. I want God to protect me and to be with me everywhere I go. Verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. I think a lot of times the word repetitions gets focused on in this verse. The main word I want to focus on is vain. Let's break that down. What does it mean to be vain? What does it mean? What does it mean vanity? Empty repetitions. I have had a few low moments in my life where I've cried out to God. And I've sobbed on the floor and just said, I'm sorry, over and over and over. And it wasn't empty. I mean, I was hurting. My spirit was in pain. And I know that he felt it. I know he did. The part that I'm not going to hammer here is repetitions. The part I'm going to hammer here is vain. Don't go to him empty. It's the same flow that we've been talking about through the beginning of the chapters. It's vain. It's empty. It's two-faced. It's hypocritical. It's empty. It's fake. God wants us to raw bring ourselves to him. If you don't know what to say, Austin Waters, get on your knees, squall, say I'm sorry over and over again. If that's all you know to say, that's not vain. That's what the Father wants. That's what the Father desires. It's for him to know that his children, hey, I know you messed up big time, but you get that you did wrong. That's great, son. Come here. Come here, buddy. And he's going to hug me, and he always makes me feel better. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to end here because I'm trying to be short, but man, I'm not good at that. It's genetics. Anyone who's played junior high football knows that by heart. And I hope that we don't vainly repeat these things. This prayer here, the model prayer. I'm not going to break down every word. I've actually preached on Matthew 6 a couple years ago. I broke down each thing. I think that's a wise thing to do. And I think this is a great place to go to when people go, what does it mean to pray? I don't even know what that means. What does that even mean? Well, first of all, like a letter, who are you addressing it to? It's your Father. The man who's looking out for you but cares for you. The man who will whoop you with his belt, but then he'll give you an ice cream cone on a good day. That's your Father. He loves you. He's going to discipline you. He's going to hold your hand across the street when there's cars whipping by that are 10 times your weight. It's your Father. That analogy, him being our Father, I wouldn't even call it, it's not an analogy. I mean, that's what he is. It's perfect. It's perfect. Our Father, who art in heaven. We already recognize this as a statement of power, a statement of perfection, a statement of glory. Our Father who is in heaven. He's not on earth. If he was on earth, things would be coming and getting him. He's here, but our Father's in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Recognize that glory. Don't just skip over it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That verse recognizes our corruption. It recognizes our depravity. Lord, things aren't the way they are here on earth like they are in heaven. Lord, please make it so. Please make it here on earth the way it is there. Please, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. It takes into account how often we are depraved there. I've often heard people talk about how sermons on depravity, they make you sad. Oh man, he preached on depravity today, man. He was really whooping on me. Depravity is the most glorious thing. That's when you're a bad boy and you still get an ice cream cone. That's the story of depravity. At the end of the day, you were a rotten little brat who didn't eat his vegetables and, I mean, he gave you the whole ice cream machine. but God, I'm depraved. I'm awful daily, and I need that bread daily. Please give us that bread daily. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are now putting responsibility on ourselves in this verse. And we're asking for God to help us with that. God, help us to forgive others, please. Lord, help us to forgive others to the extent that we do. God desires, and we should desire, justice, even with ourselves. We're not skirting the penalty. We don't desire that. We desire what is just. We are made in His image, and that's what God desires. And we should desire the same. We should desire to be more like His image. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Something only He can do. Something only His Spirit within us can do. For thine is the kingdom, it's not ours. And the power, it's His power. He is the only power we have. And the glory, the only glory there is, forever. Always. Stamp, contract, copyright doesn't end. Amen. I thank you for your time. I hope this has been beneficial.